The scripture reading is Revelation 22. In Revelation 22, John is seeing a vision from God, a vision really of heaven. And he writes Revelation 22 by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Verse 17b, the second half of verse 17 will be the text this morning. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So far do we read the word of God this morning. The text that we will look at closely today is verse 17b, beginning with the words, And let him that is athirst. So the text is, And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The first part of verse 17 is the church's response to Jesus' promise to come quickly. Jesus promised that he is coming quickly in verses 7 and 12 of Revelation 22. In both those verses, Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." He promises that he is coming to bring his church to the new heavens and new earth. Then, in the first part of verse 17, the church responds to Jesus' promise by saying, "Come." The first part of verse 17, "The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come." The bride there, at the beginning of verse 17, refers to the church. The church is often called the bride in Scripture, the bride of Christ. The Spirit refers to the Holy Spirit who lives within the church. So the idea of verse 17, at least the first part of it, is that the Spirit works in the bride to say, "Come, Lord Jesus." The Spirit works in us to say, "Come, Lord Jesus." We wouldn't say that on our own. We like the world naturally, and we like the things in it, and we naturally want it to go on. The Spirit works in the bride to say, "Come, Lord Jesus." The Spirit works in us to see that we live in the midst of death, works in us to see our sins, and we know Satan's attacks. He says, "You're guilty." And he tries to bring us into unrepentant sin and keep us there. He's attacking all the time. The Spirit brings us to see that and to say, "Come, Lord Jesus, bring us to that new heavens and new earth, that place of perfection described here in chapter 22. So that's the first part of verse 17. The church is saying in response to Christ's promise, "Come, Lord Jesus." The second part of verse 17, which is the text for this morning, is Christ's response to the church. In verse 17b, Jesus says, "Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." So Jesus is calling the church to come to the water of life and take of the water of life as they wait for his return. So you are waiting, church. Now take of the water of life while you wait. Jesus is saying, "I have that water of life. I have the power to sustain you, to refresh you, to satisfy you. Come, take the water of life as you wait for the return of me." And may we come to that water of life today and take of that water of life as we hear the preaching of the gospel and as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning. Let's consider the text under the theme, "Called to the Water of Life." Called to the water of life. First, the water of life, and second, the calling. The water of life, what is it? What is the water of life? To understand that, first know that Jesus is the fount of the water of life. He is the one from whom the water of life comes. The one from whom the water of life proceeds. Revelation 22 verse 1 shows us that. Revelation 22 verse 1 says, "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." So there, John is looking at a vision of heaven. And he sees heaven, he sees paradise, and he sees this river of the water of life. And he says that it proceeds from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now the Lamb there, of course, represents Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was led to the slaughter. That Lamb is Jesus. The idea of the text is that the water of life proceeds from the throne of God through the Lamb. So Jesus Christ is the fount of the water of life. Another text that indicates that Jesus is the one from whom this water of life comes, Another text that indicates it is John chapter 4, a familiar chapter where Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman. John 4. And in John chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus says, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And there are many verses in that chapter that speak of Jesus giving this living water. Now, the living water that Jesus gives is, in its deepest sense, the Holy Spirit, His Spirit, who bestows upon God's people all the blessings of salvation. Christ's Spirit is the stream of living water that flows constantly out of Christ and into the church. And Revelation 22, verse 1, really teaches that. Again, verse 1 says that the rivers of the water of life flow from the throne of God through Jesus Christ. Now, you remember that Jesus Christ, after He died, He arose and ascended into heaven, where He sits at the right hand of God. And when He ascended into heaven, He was given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and He poured out that gift of the Holy Spirit upon the church on Pentecost. The river of the water of life began to flow. He poured out the Holy Spirit on the church. Now, John 7, verses 37 through 39, teaches that very explicitly, that the living water is the Holy Spirit, living water that Christ gives. John 7, verse 37. Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So Jesus talks about the living water, and then the apostle, by the inspiration of the Spirit, says in verse 39, "This spake he of the Spirit." The living water, then, is the Spirit, and more particularly the blessings of salvation that the Spirit gives to the church. The living water refers to the blessings of salvation that the Spirit gives to the church. Christ's Spirit gives to His people the blessings of salvation. That is what He does. Jesus Christ earned all of the blessings of salvation for God's people by His work at the cross. Without the Lamb's work there at the cross, we would all be guilty sinners in God's sight. And those who are guilty, they may not be given the blessings of salvation. They have to die in sin, be separated from God. But Christ paid for all the sins of His people at the cross. He was as the lamb led to the slaughter. He paid for all those sins so that God's people are righteous in His sight. And they then have the right to be given all the blessings of salvation. Jesus earned those blessings of salvation for His people. All those blessings are in Him, the exalted one now, as He sits at the right hand of God. Now, the Spirit takes all of those blessings of salvation that are in Jesus Christ and bestows them upon God's children. That's why He's called in Scripture the Spirit of life, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of holiness. And He's called the Comforter. He takes those blessings out of Christ and He bestows them upon the church. Now let's consider closely some of those blessings that the Spirit gives. For these blessings that we speak of here are the water of life. The Spirit bestows upon us the gift of forgiveness. Forgiveness. The Spirit announces to the consciences of God's people that they are not guilty, but righteous. in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." So that gift of righteousness, legal righteousness, that legal status before God is ours. The Spirit declares to our consciences that we are not guilty, but we are righteous. That's the gift of forgiveness that the Spirit bestows upon God's people. He announces that forgiveness to our consciences. And the Spirit gives to God's people the gift of sanctification too. We read of that in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. He gives us the gift of sanctification, meaning that He makes us to live holy lives. He gives us the strength to put away sin. Gives us the strength to serve God and keep His commandments. The Spirit gives to us the gift of forgiveness. He sanctifies. He gives to us eternal life. Eternal life, in essence, is friendship with God. John 17, verse 3 says, "This is the life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." That's the life eternal, knowing God, knowing Him as your friend, experiencing life with Him. While the Spirit brings God's people to know forgiveness, He sanctifies, and in that way He brings us to experience life with God. Those blessings are the water of life. Those blessings serve to satisfy, to refresh us, serve to sustain us in this life. Just think of physical water. Physical water that you drink every day, it serves to satisfy you. It serves to refresh you physically so you can keep going in your work. It serves to sustain you. Well, these blessings of salvation that we've spoken of, those blessings serve to satisfy us spiritually, serve to refresh us spiritually, serve to sustain us spiritually in this Christian life. Think of it. The Spirit brings us to know forgiveness. Declares to us, not guilty, but righteous. The Spirit works in us to live holy lives. The Spirit makes us to enjoy life with God. Having those gifts, you're satisfied. Having those gifts, the child of God is refreshed. He's strengthened. He's sustained. Strengthened to continue the Christian life and service to God. Now this water of life, these blessings of salvation, can be drunk at the Lord's table. One drinks of the water of life at the Lord's table. At the Lord's table, one enjoys the blessing of forgiveness, for instance. Think of that broken bread. Kids, you even know from catechism that broken bread is a picture of Christ's broken body that was broken on the cross. And that wine at the Lord's table is a symbol of Christ's shed blood that was shed at the cross. Well, at the supper, Christ says to the believers, He says, "I broke My body and I shed My blood for you." And looking in faith upon Christ's broken body and shed blood, the believer knows forgiveness. He knows that he is not guilty, but he is righteous before God. At the Lord's table, the believer enjoys the blessing of assurance. The Spirit assures him that Christ really did die for him. And the Spirit assures that believer that Christ loves him, that Christ, that he's forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ, that Christ is cleansing him and caring for him all the way to the end. He broke His body and shed His blood for you. The believer enjoys assurance there. So you see then that the believer who saw his sins throughout the week and we have this past week. The believer who saw his sins throughout the week, he goes to the Lord's table and he is satisfied. He is refreshed. He knows he's righteous before God, that he has Christ working in him, sanctifying him, that Christ loves him and is taking care of him. That's he's satisfied. He's refreshed to go forward and live a godly life. So that's the water of life. Water of life refers to those blessings of salvation that the Spirit bestows upon the church. Now, the calling of the text is to come and take the water of life freely. Verse 17b, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now that call to come and take the water of life is a particular call. It's a call only to those who are thirsty and only to those who will, only those who desire that water of life. Understand, the call is issued publicly. The call is issued publicly, meaning that anyone might hear that call to come and take the water of life. Revelation, the book, was written to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And anyone that went into those church services in those places would hear this call to come and take the water of life freely. And today, this call to come and take the water of life, it's also issued publicly, and anyone might hear it. Yet this call to come is particular. It's particular because it's addressed to the thirsty and the willing. Again, verse 17b says, and let him that is athirst come. So Jesus calls the thirsty to come to the water of life. To be thirsty is to long. To be thirsty for something is to long for something. So sometimes we are thirsty for physical water. We long for that water. Think of being in the desert, 110 degrees, hard to imagine today, but 110 degrees and you ran out of water and you don't see any water around and it's hot. You long for water. You are thirsting. You are longing for that water so that you might be satisfied, refreshed, and sustained. Jesus is speaking in the text of one who is thirsting spiritually, of one who is longing with all his heart for the water of life, so that he might be refreshed, so that he might be satisfied, he might be sustained. The one who is spiritually thirsty, that one is one who knows his sin. He sees his sin, he knows what he deserves for those sins, and he longs for forgiveness. He thirsts after it. One who is thirsty spiritually is one who knows that all he can do is sin in his own strength, and that's the way of misery, that's the way of destruction, and he thirsts then for strength to live a godly life of holiness. He thirsts for holiness. He longs for it. He longs for the water of life. These gifts of forgiveness, this gift of strength to live a holy life that satisfies him, that refreshes him, that strengthens and sustains him. So Jesus is addressing the spiritually thirsty in the text, those who long for the water of life. And he also speaks of those who will to come. It says, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That word will there means desires. Whosoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Jesus is addressing here those who desire the water of life, those who desire forgiveness, those who desire holiness, those who desire fellowship, life with God, and assurance of their salvation. He's speaking of those who are desiring those things. Now understand that this text is not teaching that man must first will to come in his own strength, and then he will come. The text is not teaching that man must first will to come in his own strength, and then he comes. That's not the idea. Arminians teach that. Remember that Arminians were those who were around at the time that the canons of Dort were written. It was really written in response to Arminians. And Arminian ideas are still certainly present in the church world today. Very prevalent. Arminians teach that every man has a free will, and he is able then either to choose the good or choose the bad in his own strength. So in his own free will, man must thirst. They look at this verse and they say, in his own free will, man must first thirst for forgiveness, and man must thirst for holiness and thirst for fellowship with God, and then he comes. They say Christ wants to give you the water of life. You must will for it by your own free will, and then you will get that water of life. Just desire it. Just accept Jesus Christ, and then you'll get it. So really, they present Christ. Understand, they present Christ as one who is sitting and waiting for a man to will to come to the water of life. He's just sitting and waiting for that, hoping that it happens. Well, Scripture teaches something very different regarding man's will than what the Arminian does. Scripture teaches that man wills to come to the water of life only by the power of Christ. Understand that Scripture says that natural man does not have a free will. Instead, Scripture says that natural man is dead in sin. He's dead in sin. That's Ephesians 2, verse 1. He's dead in trespasses and sins. And that he's dead in sin means that all he does and all he wants to do is sin, and all he can do and all he will do is sin and choose the bad. Just like a dead man, a man who's physically dead, cannot move an inch of himself, a man who is spiritually dead cannot move an inch towards God. Cannot and will not believe in him. Cannot and will not see his sin and doesn't care about his sin. So natural man does not have a free will. Instead, a natural man is spiritually dead. He cannot thirst after the waters of life, cannot thirst for forgiveness, cannot thirst for holiness, because all he really desires and wants is sin. He doesn't care about disobedience to God. So understand, since naturally we are dead in sin, if we had to come to the water of life in our own strength, we would never do it. If Christ was standing at the Lord's table this morning saying, please choose me by your own willpower, please choose me in your own free will, then not one person would ever come to the Lord's table in true faith. Not one of us would ever seek the water of life. Just imagine this morning going before the holy God, the sovereign and almighty God of heaven and earth. Imagine standing before him and saying, I was good and powerful enough to will to come to the water of life. You offered that grace to me and I received it by my own free will. We would never dare to say that, standing before the sovereign and almighty God. We are weak, and we would never want to come on our own. Scripture teaches that man then thirsts and wills to come to the water of life only by the power of Jesus Christ. Not by his own free will. Man wills to come to the water of life by the power of Jesus. John 6, verse 44 says, "No man can come to me," that's Jesus talking, "no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." Philippians 2, verse 13 says, "It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Did you hear that? It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So Christ sends to us his Spirit first, who works in us to thirst, to long for the water of life, to long for forgiveness, to long for holiness, to long for fellowship with God. He works in us. Praise be to God. And Jesus, he works in us to will to come to the water of life through the Word. We long for it this morning. We do. We will to come to the water of life. And Jesus is working in us through the Word even now to desire that. To desire him, to desire fellowship, to desire assurance, desire forgiveness. He's working in us through the Word now. Through the Word, Jesus has brought us to see our sins today. And even the past week too, to see our sins and to desire forgiveness. Christ's Spirit moves us today to long for that forgiveness through the Word that's brought to us now. Christ's Spirit moves us to long to live that life of holiness and to be strengthened for that life. He's working in us, his people, a will to come to the water of life irresistibly. That's Jesus Christ. He works irresistibly in his people to come to the water of life. To will to come. So praise be to God for his work in us, for his sovereign work in us. All praise be to him. We thirst for the water of life this morning, because he has worked in us to do so. Now Jesus says to us this morning, the thirsty and the willing by his grace, he says to us, "Come, take the water of life freely." Come. To come and take the water of life means that you trust in Jesus Christ for all of your salvation, and you lay hold of those blessings of salvation. To come and take the water of life means you trust in Jesus Christ to supply all those blessings of salvation, and you lay hold of them, you take them, you lay hold of them as your own. You see your sins. We see our sins this morning. You see your need for forgiveness in Christ. And you look to Christ for all of your righteousness before God. That's coming to him. You look to Jesus Christ for his righteousness. And you lay hold on it. You trust that it is that you are righteous before God only for Christ's sake. You see your daily struggles with sin this week. You see your need for Christ to strengthen you. And coming to the water of life means that you look to him for that strength to live a holy life. You look to him and you lay hold of that gift, trusting that he will strengthen you to live a holy life. You see that you have no life in fellowship with God of yourself. So you see your need for Christ and you look to him. You lay hold upon him, saying, "I need Jesus Christ. I need him." Jesus says, "Come, take the water of life. Trust in me. Look to me to supply all the blessings of salvation and lay hold of them as your own for my sake." So Jesus says to us, take the water of life and take that water of life freely. Come and take that water of life freely. Understand that we cannot buy the water of life. We cannot earn the blessings of salvation like forgiveness and strength to live a holy life and fellowship with God. We can't buy those things with money. We can't earn those gifts with good works. Even our best works are stained with sin, and they earn nothing before the perfectly holy God. So that's the idea of the word freely there. We can't buy the word, we cannot buy the water of life, and we must not try to do so. We must not look for any worthiness in ourselves. We must come to the water of life, understanding that this water of life is given to us only on the basis of Jesus' work. Only on the basis of his work at the cross, for there he took away our sins. There he earned for us then all the blessings of salvation, including forgiveness, strength to live a holy life, fellowship with God. So don't try to buy the water of life with works, but drink freely today. Trust that these blessings of salvation are ours only for Jesus' sake. Remember that when we do come and take the water of life freely, that Jesus Christ has worked in us to do that. When we look for forgiveness in His blood, and when we look to Him for strength to live a holy life, Jesus has worked in us to do that. Remember that this morning as we come to Him. He calls us through the preaching irresistibly. He irresistibly works in us. And when we come by His grace, we are satisfied and we are refreshed spiritually. Think of that. When we come to Him, when we look to Jesus for all of our righteousness before God, when we look for forgiveness in His blood, the Spirit announces to our conscience, He says, forgiven, righteous in Jesus Christ. When we look for strength in Jesus Christ to serve God and to live a holy life, the Spirit does strengthen us to do so. We are satisfied, knowing that in Christ all our needs are taken care of. When we come to Him, we are refreshed, and we go forward seeking to live a Christian life of thankfulness. When we come to Him, we are satisfied, we are refreshed. So let's now do that as we go to the Lord's Supper this morning. Let's now take the water of life freely. Jesus says to the thirsty and the willing this morning, He says, come and enjoy the blessing of forgiveness. Come and enjoy that. Partake with believing hearts and enjoy that gift of forgiveness. Jesus says to us this morning, come and be refreshed to live a holy life. See that Jesus Christ really has broken His body and shed His blood for you, and be refreshed to go forward and live a godly life of thankfulness. This morning, come and take the water of life, and you will be satisfied and refreshed. Think of it, forgiveness. Assurance of that. Assurance that Christ is living within you and strengthening you to live a godly life is assurance that Jesus Christ is with you. Refreshment. Sustaining. Come to the water of life and partake this morning. And remember that one day in heaven we will drink of the water of life perfectly around God's throne. Jesus will bring us to enjoy all the blessings of salvation perfectly in heaven. We will enjoy perfect fellowship with Him. We will be strengthened to serve Him perfectly forever. That will be our life in heaven as we drink there of the waters of life perfectly forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, O God, we come to Thee and we thank Thee, O Lord, that Thou dost give to us the water of life. May we come to Thee this morning, looking for all of our salvation, all the blessings of salvation in Jesus Christ, and take hold of them. And Lord, may we be refreshed, may we be strengthened, may we be sustained. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.